Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Tony Bruno coming up in about 40 minutes from Florida. He'll join us for a Wednesday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. Also, it's the first Wednesday of the month. That means our Window Nation Veteran Spotlight at 9:30, as we will have a veteran as well as current New Jersey State Trooper. That happens to be a lady, and she's going to be with us.
A lady?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
A double dip, military and backing the blue, and she is a female. So that's 3 for 3. I'm on board with all three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking forward to that. And then also our Phillies tickets coming up at 9:50. If you can identify the movie clip, which occurred early in the 6 o'clock hour. All right, let's get to the news. Round number 2 at 7:06, the great Dawn Stensland.
Good morning, Kale and Company News Live this morning, Wednesday morning, April the 2nd. We are sponsored by Garden State Earthworks. Appropriate with all the rain we've had, although rain holds off for today. So let's get to it. In the news, we're talking about Philadelphia, where 8 children, 8 is enough, isn't it? 8 children shot in Philadelphia within just days, which is why city officials held that emergency meeting at a rec center last night to discuss and hopefully come up with solutions, better solutions, quick solutions. So during this meeting, gunshots rang out nearby at the Lonnie Young Recreation Center, and that's where a teen victim, we're told, was shot 3 times in the chest. He is in critical condition, this according to police. And then Philadelphia police also just releasing the video of the Finley Recreation Center shooting. That one happened days ago. As you see, the suspect, when you look at that, opening fire into the crowd of kids. You see some of them playing basketball. Then you see the guy take off in a dark-colored sedan, possibly a Nissan. Police just releasing this latest video as you see kids of all ages at the Finley Recreation Center at that shooting, where you see a pretty packed rec center outside of it, where kids were outside enjoying the outdoors, playing sports, and everybody just scrambles and runs for cover, basically. Officers say they located 17 shell casings between the baseball fields and the basketball courts at that Finley Rec Center shooting. And then also, later last night in the evening, 9:30-ish, a man was killed, shot multiple times, this behind an apartment complex in Philadelphia's Roxborough neighborhood. I talked about this earlier this morning. This is a 32-year-old victim shot to death multiple times, rushed to the hospital, pronounced dead there. According to the police, 30 spent shell casings found at that scene in Roxy. So officers say they did find 2 weapons. One was a rifle, one a handgun. So they're investigating, was that handgun, for example, that was still at the scene, was that the victim trying to defend himself? I don't have the answers. They don't have the answers. The suspect simply described as a man with a shaved head who was last seen wearing a green hooded sweatshirt and dark colored pants. And so they were putting out some surveillance images on that one, looking for some better ones.
Bald head, hooded sweatshirt. The authorities have ruled out myself and John Fetterman.
Yeah, you know, I was looking over. I was like, is he wearing green today?
Nope, not today.
We talked earlier in Delco about the trampoline park beat up of a mom defending her 3-year-old daughter when she asked a teenager to please not jump so much close to her 3-year-old who fell down. And in that one, mom ends up bloodied, beaten, and bruised, attacked by 3 adults, including a couple women and a man who assaulted the mom. So they're looking for, they're going to be releasing, we're told, some surveillance video and images of that one from the trampoline park. And those individuals, I would imagine, would face some felony assault charges after bloodying this mom who's badly bruised in her face.
Disgraceful. Adults doing this.
Crazy.
Like,
just biting people.
It's just...
What kind of animal are you?
People don't know how to behave.
No.
It's just... the society's going to rot. It really is. I sound like... I sound like my parents when I was younger. I'm like, you know, they're always like, this society is like, you don't know what you're talking about. But they were correct. They were correct. It was the downslide in the 90s.
And now
we're coming full. Now we're coming full bore.
Why do you think I always recite 90s nostalgia? I want to go back.
And we're going to play, I'm sure we'll play this video surveillance on the cut sheet. And it's going to be about like a bunch of animals that, that ruin things for the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Like cruises, like SEPTA buses.
Yep. Yep. You're absolutely right. That's why you stay home and watch Netflix.
God.
We have, I know in the headlines, Cory Booker from New Jersey, no tears of rage, but the headlines today say that he delivers a record-breaking Senate floor speech. I will say, technically, for the historians, this was not a record breaker in the sense this was not an actual filibuster.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to push back on that.
Ted Cruz tweeted last night as Cory Booker was approaching the record. I don't know if does Cruz hold the record or somebody else, but
Strom Thurmond,
who was a Democrat back in the day, a racist Democrat who was filibustering because he knew they were going to vote in, you know, civil rights actions.
Cruz said that he was getting close to pulling a Jamal Bowman and yanking the fire alarm down.
We actually have when Cory Booker realized that he reached the goal of 24 hours. I don't know if that was his goal.
Did he shout hallelujah and then collapse from exhaustion?
Roll this. He's handed a note.
This is New Jersey Senator.
John.
Would the senator yield for a question?
Chuck Schumer, it's the only time in my life I can tell you no.
I just want to tell you a question. Do you know you have just broken the record? Do you know how proud this caucus is of you? Do you know how proud America is of you?
Most of America had no idea this was happening.
Wiping his brow. As if he just won the Super Bowl.
I know. I'm going to Disneyland now.
I mean, look at the size of him. He kind of looks like a linebacker, doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
He's a good-looking guy.
All right. You get it.
Yeah.
So he, you know, the as far as this goes, he's the senior Democrat from New Jersey, obviously. And they're saying that he broke the previously held record for an individual speech. But the truth is, he did not break the filibuster record. That was 1957, Democrat Senator Strom Thurmond. I know I said this yesterday, but everybody's saying, he broke the record. No, he actually was just speaking for the sake of speaking. And what I think is ironic, think about who interrupted him. It's like that old saying that your grandmother said, the devil always interrupts. I think part of the reason that he was holding this whole thing was in protest, even to try to, I don't know, garner support or somehow bring Democrats together. The fact that Schumer,
that was
who
the
he's
point.
Mad at.
Yeah, I know. Well, that was the point, was to rally the base to get, you know, light a fire under them. He spoke to Jake Tapper. Since you're on this, I might as well do this. We have plenty of cuts to get through at 7:45. Roll it.
Booker is joining me now. And for anybody watching at home, please understand we gave him a chair. He's sitting in a chair right now. The illusion is that he's standing. But for people who don't know, you had to stand the whole time. You couldn't take a bathroom break. The only break of any sort you got was if somebody, one of your colleagues, would ask you a question to give your voice a break.
Yes.
How are you feeling?
Yes.
Yeah, physically and also emotionally, the longest speech in the history of the U.S. Senate.
Well, I'm physically not in the best shape, but I am emotionally just feeling really fed right now and grateful and just really grateful for a lot of the people who lent support to the effort and obviously the constituents, the dozens and dozens of folks who gave me their stories, who gave me their hurt, their pain, their anger, their demands of me that I read, and their really humble offers that tell me what I can do. It was some very moving speeches, and then some of my colleagues came on the floor and just told them very emotional stories, too, that really sourced me through the whole challenge.
There you go.
And the Academy Award does not go to Cory Booker.
Yeah. I'm feeling very emotionally fed.
He's also
feeling very fed. Look at the size of him.
Yeah.
That grass-fed beef. I think he looks pretty good.
Yeah. Do you? I don't know. Like he was always kind of no. I mean, like his he was always kind of like a slender built guy, wasn't he? And now he's packed on a few.
You talk about trying to rally a base. Do you think he's got bigger aspirations?
Oh, of course.
For perhaps 2028. I gotta think there's some self.
Of course. Oh yeah. Everything he does is for himself.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So to Dawn's point about this not being the longest Philip, Jake Tapper was very careful in what he said. The longest speech.
Mm-hmm.
Speech.
Well, you see it there on the headline on the scroll. Yes. It says speech.
Yes. Breaks record for longest speech in Senate history. Mm-hmm. So,
but the filibuster still belongs to the racist Democrat who was opposing the passage of the Civil Rights Act.
And what's the time for Strom?
Strom was 24 hours, 18 minutes.
Okay.
And he's 24 hours or 25 hours, 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have that going on. So everybody's saying, you know, the record. And like you said, they're wording it in a very careful manner. The other headlines that I'll just give to you this morning locally in Philadelphia as there's a new Philadelphia task force and initiative that's going to target illegal dumping and other of these quality of life crimes that we've talked about. So this is District Attorney, Larry Krasner says that Philadelphia is safer and freer as he's obviously seeking a third term, but they're putting up cameras and targeting those, especially with illegal dumping and tires all over the city. So this is a new task force created by Larry Krasner as he tries to fend off Patrick Dugan. And they've had a pretty tense, debates. And I know that he recently had the debate in West Philadelphia via his challenger, Patrick Dugan, former judge.
I'm always fascinated by what gets people going. And for Larry Krasner, it's apparently tire dumping. We have to create a task force with taxpayer dollars for tire dumping. Didn't know that was an issue. And in all honesty, don't care that it is. Bigger fish to fry.
Okay, I will say on one hand, I think you're right in the sense that we just had this meeting yesterday with the task force of the city officials, right? And during it, about less than 10 minutes away, there was another teen shot, 8 other kids shot over the past few days. But as a city resident, they put up cameras in, I've seen cameras that are specifically about trash, and I've noticed a difference. And so the garbage and the trash dumping issue, it's a big issue for city residents.
Big issue in the Chestnut Hill area?
Yes.
Really?
Believe it or not, it's all over the city.
Wow.
People just eat, and not just fast food stuff, tires. Like they just go along the road and like throw out a tire.
Wow.
It's like, what the heck?
How often do people replace their tires to have an issue arise to the point where they have to address it?
I know. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
But it's nasty.
How many miles do you get out of a normal tire these days?
Don't they just go to like United Tire and get a new tire, and then the old tire goes to United Tire?
That's what I do.
I'm asking for a friend. Why are there so many tires laying around?
I know.
Burning
a lot of rubber, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, I don't have the answer, or if it's maybe places that are not reputable places changing tires, and then because United Tire responsibly. Get some recycled or turns them into a playground material.
Have a friend come over about 10:30 and change your tires for you.
Yeah, exactly. And then throw them out on the street somewhere on my street. But they literally have cameras now that they're watching you. I don't know who's monitoring them. By the way, Kylie Kelsey had her baby girl.
Oh, wow.
Congratulations to Jason
and
Kylie Kelsey.
How many kids do they have now?
Had the baby.
Hopefully that podcast doesn't flop.
Kylie Kelsey had a baby. I guess, were they going for a girl? This was baby number 4.
Mm. Well, I was going for one, and I got 2, so I
don't know.
What are you going to do?
Her name's Finley. Finn Ann Kelsey.
Who?
Right?
Just curious, Kale.
Wife side.
Twins running the wife side?
Wife side, yeah.
You know what's funny is my wife told me when we were trying to have Dylan, she's like, you know, twins runs in my family. Like, what's holy the, crap. What's the likelihood that that's going to happen? Didn't happen for us, but her sister, who's having, her and her husband are having their first child, is having twins.
Oh, so, wow.
So it escaped me.
Yep.
Me and Stefan.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then once Greg realized he was just going to have one, he told Steph this.
Will that make you happy, Fred? Will it?
Well, congratulations to the Kelseys, Kylie and her hubby, Jason. They're already the parents of daughters Wyatt, Elliot, Bennett, and now they have Finn. They'll call her Finn.
Wyatt, Elliot, Wyatt. Bennett, and Finley.
Yeah.
Wyatt's a girl?
They're all girls. Wyatt, Elliot, Bennett, and now Finley.
Interesting. Wyatt, a girl name.
I like the name Wyatt.
I have to think. I do too, but it is for a girl?
Yeah.
I have to think
about that. Not so much, yeah. I'm going to take that under advisement.
Like Wyatt Earp
commercial.
I know, that's what I thought. Wyatt Earp.
Yeah.
Bray
exactly.
Wyatt.
Bray. So congratulations. Stop.
Sorry.
All right. We are sponsored by Garden State Earthworks. As we think about our fills this afternoon, game two, we talked about that earlier. Garden State Earthworks, you have water on your property, maybe especially after the last big storms that just moved through, and it's just giving you a headache, soggy yards, damp patio, floating or wrinkling pool liners. Do you have anything wrinkling in the backyard?
A little bit, yeah, actually.
Water invading your home. Call our friends at Garden State Earthworks and your drainage solutions will be done. 856-848-4444. That's 856-848-4444. Garden State Earthworks. Thank you for sponsoring second edition of Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Every now and then, Republicans and Democrats come together in bipartisan agreement and support. What is it about? Well, we'll tell you on the other side. But first, a word from our friends at Piazza Acura. We're talking about the all-new 2025 ADX. That's right, ADX, Piazza Acura's latest addition to their precision-crafted lineup. This premium compact SUV is a breakthrough in design, performance, and innovation. Turbocharged engine, available all-wheel drive system, and cutting-edge technology, the Acura ADX is engineered for those who demand more, but in a compact size. Best of all, it's now available at Piazza Acura. You can check it out at their Ardmore, Reading, and their Westchester locations with leases as low as $389 per month. You're going to get an Acura SUV for under $400 a month. You can't beat it. Check them out today. PiazzaAcura.com with all the latest details.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
The effort to require AM radio to remain in vehicles sold in the United States passed another major legislative checkpoint yesterday. The bill that would ensure dashboards offer AM radio has secured the necessary 60 supporters in the Senate, ensuring that it could overcome any potential hold on a floor vote. The milestone came in bipartisan fashion with Republican Senator from Florida, Ashley Moody, who was, I believe, the Attorney General. She's now filling the seat vacated by, I believe, Mike Waltz, and Kirsten Gillibrand, Democrat from New York. And if you recall, the bill was sponsored initially almost 2 years ago, May of 2023, on a bipartisan front with Ted Cruz from Texas and Democrat Ed Markey from Massachusetts. If passed, now here are the details, the proposed AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act requires that the Secretary of Transportation issue a rule requiring access to AM broadcast stations in motor vehicles. So if you are a smaller automobile manufacturer, meaning you produce less than 40,000 passenger cars for sale each year in the United States, you would have 4 years to meet this requirement. Bigger manufacturers would have 2 years to comply with this rule, and both are saying on the Democrat and Republican front that they see this as a common sense proposal. I was thinking about this because this would obviously impact us on 1210 WPHT, yeah, unless we somehow end up on FM, which may never happen. NPR is available, I think, in this market on, is it FM, Greg?
Yes, yeah.
But it's also on AM stations throughout the country.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is, yeah, absolutely.
So I mean, this to me, again, I don't think NPR should be funded with public taxpayer dollars, but I'm not calling for the cancellation of NPR. And if AM radios were to cease to exist in vehicles, not only would stations like 1210 WPHT or Free Speech Conservative Talk Radio cease to exist on an AM dial, NPR would as well. And I know everybody frames this from the emergency perspective of, you know, rural America and how well the AM, which is amplitude modulation, is it amplitude modulation, I think is what AM stands for. I mean, you talk about the signal reach of AM stations. There are some AM stations, this one included, that reach multiple states.
Oh.
Some go up and down the entire east coast of I-95, right?
My wife's uncle told me over the weekend that he listens occasionally in the morning when he's driving in or when he's commuting.
Mm-hmm.
And he went all the way up to Harrisburg. And he got us all the way up to Harrisburg. So
yeah.
And Morristown, New Jersey, not Morristown, Morristown. So like North Jersey.
Sure.
So it's you know, it is a very powerful signal.
Yes.
50,000 watts. You know. So.
And obviously, you know,
look what we do with them.
Yeah. And AM goes much further than FM. And also nowadays, and I mentioned this last week about how when you have a modernized vehicle that offers, you know, the HD radio component, you're not getting 1210 AM the way you used to, where you'd have a little bit of the buzz or the hiss. If your vehicle's got the HD adapter automatically,
it's amazing.
It sounds just like FM.
100%.
So this
sounds actually better than FM.
It really does.
Yeah.
Especially if it stays consistent and doesn't go in and out of HD, depending on where you may be traveling in rougher areas from a technology standpoint. But to me, this has always been about, I have viewed it this way. This is a bigger threat than the boogeyman George Soros, in my opinion. I have always thought that any Democrat opposed to AM radio is trying to silence, quote, conservative talk radio. And to me, you can frame it any which way you want. You know, we talk about, you know, rural areas. But, I mean, we have rural, and it's not just a southern thing. I mean, you leave Montgomery, you leave Bluebell, you go 4 miles down Skipback Pike, you're out in rural area, right? So
yeah.
I don't know if you guys have thoughts on this, on what you think this means big picture or what the motivations were. But I think this is a huge story, not just because we work in it, but because – and there's also the sentimental side. There's just something – and maybe I'm a radio nerd. There's just something comforting about the old AM radio dial. As somebody who grew up – like I'm that kid that grew up listening to – like Greg, you grew up listening to Stern, right?
Stern, Opie and Anthony.
I grew up listening to play-by-play of sports. Bearman Keith. God rest the Bearman's soul. I grew up listening to AM radio because, you know, let's face it, WIP went to FM in 2011, I think, was when they went from 610 to 94.1. But I remember as a kid in the 90s with my dad driving around in a beat-up Oldsmobile, like AM radio, play-by-play for sports, and just a little bit of sports talk when sports talk was in its infancy. So, like, I just had that affinity and that connection to the AM radio dial. Back when, remember, Dawn, when you'd be in your car and you'd turn the knob and you'd see the little, it almost looked like a thermostat, and it would go from, like,
yeah,
88
sure.
to 90 to
yeah.
92, and then you see the AM,
yeah.
700, 1,000, 1,200. Your thoughts?
For me, I think that AM radio, the biggest sell for AM radio is that when everything else goes out, when there's a bad storm or what have you, you have that AM radio dial for especially weather alerts or important news alerts.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, so I don't think it's dying any more than I think. I actually think.
Well, we're proving it's not dying on this station right here.
Well, yeah. I think, so
Thank
I think
you.
That what we're proving is that there's a niche or niche audience, whatever you want to say, for it. But overall, do mainstream people use it or utilize it? Not necessarily.
No.
But here's the difference, I will say, between, let's say, television news, which I do actually believe is already dead. They just don't know it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason is, the television news hasn't really figured out on a daily basis how to maintain that loyal niche audience. AM radio does have that. So we have our group, we have a camaraderie, we have a sense of belonging, and so that's what keeps it alive. Whereas in television news in particular, it's really it's DOA right now. Nobody watches TV news on a regular loyal basis. But for AM radio, the biggest sell, and we saw that during the whole pitch of, you know, don't let this go away. I've had it happen to me before in a horrible storm. Everything goes out. Cell towers are out. Everything's out. You can, if you still have AM radio in your vehicle, you can still get it in your car.
And I would also argue, too, that, yes, I think generally the format, what we do on AM radio across the board, is somewhat of a niche audience. But if you do it really well and you do it right and you do it in a unique way, you can beat perhaps an FM sports station or an FM music station. And it's not just niche for us, but you talk about where we are in the tier of the city of, I don't know how many stations are in the city, 24, 28, whatever it might be. But you look at, you know, our sister station down the hall. I mean, KYW, I know they have an FM antenna as well, but they are consistently almost towards the top. Now, it's a different format, but it's still for years and years and years and years. KYW just celebrated, what anniversary? Was it 60 years?
I think so, 60th, yeah.
60 years,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So,
awesome.
Yeah, and then when you talk about, you know, the dying formats,
we're like 100 years, so.
Are we really?
Yeah.
Is that what we are?
Yeah.
When's our celebration coming up?
We don't get one.
Oh, we don't get one?
It's just KYW that gets one.
Buried us in the bottom of an email.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, and them too. Them too.
Other notable news, 1210 celebrates.
I know they're reinventing the brand over there, but we don't give them credit.
Well, but here's the thing with reinventing your brand, where you talk about, Dawn, you talk about the news on television dead on arrival and not adapting. We have adapted. We're not just a 1210 AM radio station. We're an app. We're a YouTube stream live. Yeah. We're basically like a television on your smart devices. Mm-hmm. We clip things where for people that have the attention span of salad dressing, you can get a take in 90 seconds and we'll throw it up on X. So it's more than just getting in your car like in the old days. And also, how many people when you're in your car these days don't actually listen to us on 1210, but have your phone synced up to your car with Bluetooth?
Odyssey.
And are listening on the app in your car.
Yeah, lots of people are.
Right.
Yeah. Lots of people are. So, you know, first of all, we thank everybody for that. Yeah. Here's the thing that because I do agree with you that I think that this was a push by, liberal Democrats don't know how to get rid of what we do. So they've tried every which way to try and silence what we do, mm-hmm. try and make it irrelevant. And I think this was their last ditch effort to really silence what we're doing. That's my honest opinion.
Yeah. And the goal should not be to silence ideas. It should be to create better ones.
The libertarian in me, and you know it always comes back to this, the libertarian in me feels like... does the government need
government
to mandate?
Orchestrated?
Yeah, I don't love the idea of the government mandating that you must have an AM radio in your car to car manufacturers. There's just something that doesn't sit right with me.
What if their main argument, though, is the emergency aspect?
I mean, then we get back to that NPR thing. You know what I mean? Like, you could then make the argument that NPR shouldn't be defunded. Because some people can say, well, it's the only form of news I get. You know, whatever it is, AM, FM, or free on PBS, because that comes with basic cable. That's the only form of news I get. And if you're taking away that, you're taking away my lifeline to find out what's happening in the world or my area. So my problem always comes back to I hate when government gets involved. The government needs to stay out of every aspect of everyone's life, and we'd all be much better. So... Well, I do believe that there is a nefarious intent in Congress to try and get rid of stations like this. I have a big problem with the government mandating it.
I feel like AM radio, to your point earlier, Dawn, AM radio is the power generator for audio news in times of dire straits. When your power goes out at your house.
And the cell tower, so you don't have your cell phone.
And your cell tower goes out. Yeah. What do you use if you're fortunate enough or smart enough to have one? You have a generator.
Yeah.
AM radio is the generator for the news relay to you,
and you can,
when a tornado comes.
And you can get that emergency, that urgent news that you need.
Yeah.
And even driving, and I told you guys the time it happened to me, I was everything was out, cell towers were out. And I turned on, I listened, and it was KYW News Radio, but it was on the AM.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they had a meteorologist on in an emergency capacity. And they were like, if you're headed, and I was right, and you know the area. I was in Montgomery County because I picked up my son. I was somewhere. And they were saying, if you're in this area,
Watch out for cover.
Yeah. And I was right there. Mm-hmm. It was like one of those mini tornadoes, whatever. And we went under an underpass.
Yeah.
And it was that urgent, you know, your heart's pounding situation. Stuff is flying, rooftops, the whole thing. And we were caught in the middle of that.
Yeah.
And it could have been bad.
Yeah.
So I would just vouch for that and say, don't get rid of AM radio just for that urgent reason.
Right.
But I will say this. During a time when we've lost trust in our institutions, that's why I think we have that trust here.
Yep.
Because we've lost so much trust in the so-called news media, the days of, you know, people, Walter Cronkite was trending the other day and whatnot. So I just think we've lost trust in our institutions, and that's why we do have that trust here.
Here's the thing, too, is that I believe that what we do here on this radio station is so powerful that, and we have such a big and loyal audience, that if we went away on 1210, and you could only get us on YouTube or the Odyssey app, or maybe 1210 develops its own app like 77 WABC in New York did.
Mm-hmm.
If that happens, people will find us.
Oh, they'll migrate right away.
100%. So, like, I understand what everybody's saying about AM radio. And, you know, it's a subject near and dear to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like government mandates.
Yeah.
And I think if your product is good enough, it'll stand on its own two feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this product is good enough to stand on its own two feet no matter what happens.
A couple of great tweets here. Marcus Aurelius says, in the winter, I can clearly pick up 1210 as far south as Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of people like in North Jersey, like Brick, New Jersey. A guy says he works in Brick and he listens all day. Somebody said that they listen all the way to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, look, it's a powerful radio station. It's a super powerful radio station. I'm glad we have this signal. But I truly believe that what we're doing is kind of reinventing this genre,
mm-hmm.
and people will find it no matter where we go.
But think about what, you know, so-called foxhole radio, how it was invented. I think it was World War II. And you see some of those old movies and they talk about this. It was that amplitude modulation that you, that's where that whole thing came up. These were soldiers.
Yeah. Yep. I think Bruno was the first morning show host.
He hit a troll's ass with a bass fiddle.
So you think about that. Are we at war? Are we our own army, if you will? So you think about that and why people gravitate to this. Because it is that grassroots, organic kind of group of people coming together and finding truth.
You're right. Jane says, since the storm Sandy had occurred, I have transistor radios because it was really bad not to have any sound anywhere.
Yep.
And Rudy says, Jimmy Kelly is keeping AM radio alive.
Jimmy Kelly. That is is Rudy Jimmy's brother or something?
Jimmy Kelly was actually Tony Bruno's board op back during the Civil War when they did mornings. All right, we'll come back and get to Tony Bruno, and he'll take a shot at me because I ripped him just there. That's what we do on this
Woo-hoo!
Show. What's on the cut sheet? We're going to find out as we head down to Florida with Bruno next.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Today will be a new record. We will have a 25-hour cut sheet for you. So we will be going until tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
What a
so
great idea.
Stop what you're doing. The cut sheet will now go 25 hours, surpassing Cory Booker's. Even Rosario Dawson is listening in this morning to hear the never-ending cut sheet from Cory Booker. Never has one person spoken so long and said so little as yesterday's accomplishment. What the hell did he win? What did he win? Everybody's going crazy. Cory Booker, oh my God, 25 hours.
Tony, I'll tell you right now, don't give Stalker any ideas. There's not a talent fee big enough to get me to do a 25-hour cut sheet.
It's true, Tony.
Unless it's Travis Mannion Foundation, then I'll consider it.
Exactly.
Jeez, 25-hour cut sheet. Harry Mays would have to check out after 2 hours.
Yeah.
He'd tell us he'd have to go tape a golf podcast or something. That crumb bum.
By the way, I was on a podcast last night, Drunk Phillies Fans.
Oh.
Drunk Phillies Fans podcast last night.
Wow.
Getting ready. We're talking baseball. The Atlanta Braves are done. The Minnesota Twins are done. Everybody's done except the Phillies. The White Sox are even playing better than some of these supposedly good teams.
I have to ask you, Tony, what do you think of the torpedo bats?
Well, you know, somebody said to me yesterday on Trans Day of Visibility here, or Invisibility here in Southwest Florida, is that a torpedo bat in your pocket? Or are you just happy to see that, Tony?
And with that,
that happens when you...
And with that, yeah.
Wait, are you going to have to edit that?
No, of course not. I just thought it was a good... It's timing, buddy. I just thought it was a good way to...
Is that a torpedo bat?
No, I didn't have to edit that. That was a good way to end it.
Yeah, I agree.
Come on, man. Radio.
I don't think Dawn liked that torpedo bat joke.
No, she's...
I'm not Jimmy Fallon here.
She has the dirtiest...
writers.
She has the dirtiest mind of us all. She has the dirtiest mind of us all.
No.
What's the cut sheet on this Wednesday, Bruno? What Up Wednesday, sponsored by Rita's Italian Ice. Do you have a Rita's Italian Ice down by you, Tony, Bruno?
Yes, Rita's is here in Southwest Florida, too.
Water ice.
Call it water ice down here. The gelatis, everything they make is phenomenal. I love Rita's.
Get ready for a burst of bold, fruity flavor. Introducing Rita's new Skittles Ice. Try it in gelati or ice blender. Add even more fun with a crunchy new Skittle pop topping. Stop by Rita's today. By the way, I tried that Skittles thing. It's amazing.
Is it really?
It's amazing. It's not good for you. I know. I know, Dawn, it has the red dyes in it. Yeah.
Skittles is only good. Skittles came to fame because of Purple Drank back in the day.
Yes.
Oh. You know, when you were making, you would put that in there with all these other concoctions.
Yeah.
And then it became Purple Drank in the hood. For those of us in the hood who understand the hood.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We did the Purple Drank bit with you and Harry on the radio back in the day.
Exactly right. I think Purple Drank is coming back now.
I should make it come. Make Purple Drank great again, Tone.
Exactly. Quick point on the AM radio thing.
Yep.
AM radio was what got me into the business, listening at night to all the different radio stations I can get in my South Philly basement, you know, hearing Indianapolis and hearing radio stations from all over America. It was fascinating to me. It's what drew me to wanting to be in radio, hearing all these different stations and voices on AM radio at night.
Mm-hmm. So the big news last night was that the big Wisconsin State Supreme Court general election was between Republican Brad Schimmel and who was the other one?
Susan Crawford.
Yes, the liberal Democrat, Susan Crawford. Susan Crawford won. People are saying, why should I care about a Supreme Court election in the state of Wisconsin? And I'm not sure people understood, like, why this was such a big deal and why this was such a big test for the Republicans and for the Democrats. Scott Pressler explained it on the Benny Show yesterday. So roll this.
Guys, if you like Trump, this election should speak to you. Benny just said it to you. So here's what will happen. Let me make this crystal clear. We don't win today, they will redraw the maps. We will likely lose the House. And on day one of 2027, they will impeach President Trump. And you are going to see the impeachment circus that started in 2019 rev up again. You are going to see our ability to have a good budget. All of those cuts that you like to see from DOGE, etc., all those cuts are going to be reinstated. You're going to see funding of Ukraine. You're going to see funding of our enemies that despise everything of what it means to be an American citizen. You're not going to see money to secure the border. You're not going to see money for border patrol or border security. All of your dreams and hopes and visions, everything that we worked tirelessly to achieve on November 5th, 2024, is gone.
Wow.
And I do think this is a big deal because, as I said earlier, you could end up having Hakeem Jeffries, Dollar Store Obama, as the Speaker of the House. And why I think it's a big issue is this was not just any Republican. This was a Trump-endorsed candidate. This was Elon Musk spending, not necessarily his money, $21 million. I think he spent roughly $2 million of his own. But the PACs affiliated with him spent $19 million.
Total was the most ever spent on an election like this.
Well over over $100 million. And I know you said earlier, Dawn, you know, very liberal area in Madison. But this was not just a Madison race. This was a statewide. So where were the rural support voters for Trump and Trump-backed candidates? Because, again, this is a state that Donald Trump won 2 out of 3 times on the general election stage.
Yeah,
The thing, guys, about the money was, you know, Musk put his money in and went there to Green Bay and did the cheese hat thing and all of that. But people keep forgetting that the money pouring in for the woman who won, they were coming in from all over the world. It's like what happens in Philadelphia. You'll see it again with Larry Krasner. Larry Krasner has no support, doesn't show up for any of the debates because he knows he's got all this money being pumped into his campaign to try to get a third term in Philly. Outside money is what makes the difference. People forget about the Soros impact. Soros funded this Supreme Court seat. You know, in Pennsylvania, we've had Supreme Court seat situations going on where money comes in from all over the country to make sure that the candidates that the machine wants get in.
Just to give you those numbers, $104.5 million, so it more than doubled the previous record.
Wow.
$57.2 million, and that's Team Schimmel. And as far as Crawford, who won, the incumbent Democrat who won, she had $47.3 million. So actually, Schimmel outspent her 57-47.
Wow. Do we know the actual results as far as how close or not close this was?
10 points.
10 points.
She won by it was not close.
Wow.
Yikes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was called early. It was called so early, even Nick Cale was in bed. I mean, that's how early it was called.
By the way, I mean, from what I was seeing on X yesterday, there was like they had like record turnout for for an election like this.
They have early voting that went on for what, a week or two.
Oh,
and so then you have that, and then you have so basically, I'll say this: the early voting, the laws that, you know, Linda Kearns talks about all the time. It's boring stuff, but it matters.
Yep.
The gerrymandering matters.
Mm-hmm.
But years ago, this is decades ago, Wisconsin, because my mom's from there, my family who lived there. So what they say is many years ago, Democrats opened up the money they give, let's say, to single moms. And so there was no limit. If you had 7 kids and you moved from, let's say, Chicago and you moved to Wisconsin, you got, you know, $2,000 a month back in the day. So they got all these Democrat voters to move from urban areas into Wisconsin. And it's a strategy the Democrats are very good at. So they do that. Think about the recent administration. Their strategy to flood areas with blue voters was to open up the borders.
Yep.
But that's really nothing new.
Nope. They're all about redistricting.
Oh, you're right, Dawn.
Whether it's with legal voters or illegal.
Last night on the MSNBCs, they were taking a victory lap here and pinning this all on the defeat of Elon Musk. Larry, stop the hammering, O'Donnell and Rachel Maddow.
Oh, Rachel was working on a Tuesday.
Well, yeah, she's working 4 or 5 days a week. Until,
oh, that's right, first 100.
Yeah, and then and then after that, she's taking a siesta.
Yeah, so am I.
By the way, apparently Larry O'Donnell has been off for like 3 weeks. Remember when you said he was so stressed out?
He had to take a mental health check out.
Well, apparently he went away somewhere and got like really ill and has been off for a long time.
So. Yeah. Probably left the country.
Dozens of people realized he was off.
No, he tweeted yesterday that MSNBC now has more TikTok and online viewers than any other network. So that's I saw him tweet that yesterday, Larry.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, he tweeted that MSNBC now has more people watching on TikTok and social media than all the other networks combined. Because I don't know about you, but at 11 o'clock at night, I make sure I go to TikTok to watch Larry Lawrence on MSNBC on TikTok.
So that's where their audience went. 50% decline.
They all jumped
to TikTok.
All right, let's roll this.
In Wisconsin is a huge, huge defeat for Elon Musk, who, as we saw, personally went there, went full cheesehead, thinking, what, that's how to appeal to people in Wisconsin? And handing out those million-dollar checks, literally trying to buy the election, physically doing the buying on TV. So this is just a huge setback for Elon Musk and therefore for Donald Trump.
Oh, devastating.
When I first saw the news at the end of last week that Musk was going to not just put his money into this race, but that he was going to physically go to Wisconsin, do a campaign event, do this stunt where he pays voters and do this whole thing again, I thought, you know, that is great news for the Democrats. Because there are few people in American public life who are as underwater in terms of the way the American public views them as Elon Musk is. But, you know, seeing the way that Mr. Musk behaved in Wisconsin, seeing the way that, like, MAGA media portrayed this as something that was actually going to help that candidate there, I started to wonder, like, you know, maybe I'm looking at the wrong polls. Maybe they're seeing something else that I'm not seeing. Maybe Elon Musk is going to help this guy. But this is to have this margin within less than an hour of this call within less than an hour of polls closing with the kind of margin it looks like it's going to end up there in Wisconsin. This is just a kick in the proverbial teeth to the White House and to Mr. Musk.
Well, I mean, I do think you can probably take it to the bank that Elon Musk had some level of influence and impact for Trump's victory in November. I think Elon Musk was far more influential, and it might only be a percentage point here or 2 points but it's more than Bobby Kennedy, which is, I think, more than Tulsi Gabbard. But I think the big issue here is not that this is, oh my God, this is the beginning of the end of the Republicans controlling everything, but I think it goes to show you how committed you need to be. Because if you really want, and this is just my personal opinion, if you really want to see MAGA, Make America Great Again, the actual result occur in this country, I actually think it takes more than one term of Trump. I don't think you're going to get remotely close to what your end goal is by 2028. I think you need 8 to 12 years, which means 2 to 3 elections of Trump followed by Vance or Trump followed by DeSantis to get to that finish line. And if 2027 comes and Republicans lose the House, now all of a sudden you went from having the White House, the Supreme Court, the House, and the Senate. You had all 4 slices of the pie. Now you only have 3 of those 4 slices. And I don't think Scott Pressler is using hyperbole here because we've seen it multiple times. If the House goes back to the Democrats, they're going to try to impeach Trump.
Of course, well, they're trying to impeach him now. I mean, they've got Elon Musk has become the enemy of the Democrats. That's all they care about is Elon Musk. They don't care about, you know, Cory Booker, 25 hours. Did he mention anything about anything that mattered? You know, that's why they were all glued to Cory Booker yesterday and forgot to go out and vote. And it's ridiculous. Did they mention on MSNBC that the 2 seats that were supposed to be lost here in Florida to replace the 2 Congress people who have left, that they were won by one guy, Randy Fine, who everybody thought was going to lose. Mm-hmm. And then the other candidate won. They both won. Florida Democrats are in disarray. So Florida picked up 2 more House seats last night. I guarantee you they're not talking about that on MSNBC.
No, they're not. Nobody's talking about the victories in Florida. To their credit, I will say a lot of Associated Press, they're saying it's they're calling it a mixed bag between Florida and Wisconsin. So I'll give them credit.
Well, the Wisconsin Supreme Court race is all about redistricting and getting rid of conservative areas in Wisconsin so they can get more congressional seats in the state of Wisconsin. That's what that's all about. But they did vote for voter ID, which is surprising because voter ID is like kryptonite to the Democrats.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's nobody has an ID. It doesn't matter how many years, decades, centuries go by. Somehow voter ID is still racist and people can't get one. Even your governor, Rod Shapiro, is talking about, you know, if you go out and get a real ID by May something, you're automatically registered to vote. And so how many people will go get a real ID and then be automatically registered to vote? I have no problem with that. But do you believe that that process is going to be played out correctly?
No.
You think that Josh Shapiro, who tweets like every 20 minutes now, nobody tweets more. Even Donald Trump doesn't tweet as much as Josh Shapiro right now.
Speaking of how unpopular the Democrats are, Nick brought this up at 6:01 this morning. Per CNN, the Democrats' approval rating in Congress right now, roll this.
Holy Toledo. Voters' views of the Democrats in Congress among all voters disapprove 68%. And look at the approved number, just 21%.
Number.
Lower than the Democratic Party at large. This is the lowest on record for Democrats, according to Quinnipiac University polling. You think these numbers are bad? Let's go to this side of the screen. We'll look how Democratic voters feel. Get this. The plurality of Democratic voters disapprove of Democrats in Congress at 49%. And just 40% approve. Horrible, horrible, horrible. Oh, my goodness gracious, you just can't get worse than these numbers.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah. By the way, that was before Cory Booker went on a 25-hour bender. And then, so I'm sure the latest CNN poll, the Democrats are going to absolutely take over again after Cory Booker laid it all on the line for 25 hours yesterday. I mean, it was breathtaking.
Well, if you take Cory Booker's mom out of that equation, that 40% drops down to 20%.
No, I think Rosario Dawson even was texting him during the thing, but he couldn't pick up his phone because he was like, right. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Usually when you filibuster, you stand for something. It's about a bill. It's not about just talking for 25 hours.
Yeah,
I can talk for 25 hours.
I was just going to say that. Who could go longer, Tony Bruno or Cory Booker?
That's a poll question.
This is when...
Put it up on the poll, Phil.
Yeah.
Who could talk longer?
Who could talk longer?
And say nothing. I guarantee you, if I talk for 25 straight hours, I would say things that are more relevant than anything that Cory Booker said.
Agreed.
He didn't make one legitimate point about anything that matters.
He couldn't hit a bull's ass with a bass fiddle.
Speaking of Booker, we played this earlier, but this is when he realized when Chucky told him, and Don brought up an interesting point. The whole point of the speech was to kick the Democrats in the ass, like Chuck Schumer, to get up and you know stand up and be vocal about this administration. And it was Chucky that told him that he broke the record. Roll this.
John.
Would the senator yield for a question?
Chuck Schumer, it's the only time in my life I can tell you no.
I just want to tell you a question. Do you know you have just broken the record? Do you know how proud this caucus is of you? Do you know how proud America is of you?
America.
What are you going to do now, Corey? I'm going to Disney World.
Come over to my grill and have a frozen burger with non-melted cheese.
Extra cheese on that burger now, Chucky. Extra cheese, bro. Turn up the fire. I want that thing well done this year.
You know, lost in all of this, though, in this kicking the ass to get the Democrats to resist and fight harder against Trump, what is he talking about? They resist everything he says and does. They object to the fact that today's Wednesday, if Trump says today is Wednesday. They want to impeach him for breaking wind. They resist every single thing. I would actually argue, if you spent 25 hours trying to rally your base to resist and fight more, you wasted all of your time. That's your whole platform. And it's losing because all you want to do is try to point at Trump and say, oh, but, how about you come up with better ideas? That's what you should be spending 25 hours doing. That's all they do is resist. I think the whole objective is...
Cory Booker spent more time talking about nothing than he did in his 2020 presidential campaign. He didn't spend 25 minutes being relevant. He was even more irrelevant than what's-her-face who lost the election. Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
He bailed out even before Kamala Harris got wiped off the face of the earth in 2020.
He bailed before
now
Tulsi propping Gabbard him up as bodied
the,
her.
You're now propping him up as the new face of the party?
Yeah.
Well, that's the question I asked earlier in the show. Is this about, not so much about the Democrat Party, but is this about Cory Booker and positioning himself? Because he's looking around probably, I'll assume, and says, boy, John Fetterman's making a lot of noise. Mm-hmm. Gavin Newsom's on every podcast in the world lately. Cory Booker's saying, all right, I'm going to get me a little spotlight now.
Phil, do we have Cory Booker and Jake Tapper? I know we played it earlier. I don't see it on my sheet here.
Oh, this is the one where Jake Tapper had to tell us that Corey was actually sitting in a chair.
Yeah, I rolled this.
We just assumed he was 6'11".
Joining me now, and for anybody watching at home, please understand we gave him a chair. He's sitting in a chair right now. The illusion is that he's standing. But for people who don't know, you had to stand the whole time. You couldn't take a bathroom break. The only break of any sort you got was if somebody, one of your colleagues, would ask you a question to give your voice a break.
Yes.
How are you feeling? Yeah, physically and also emotionally, the longest speech in the history of the U.S. Senate.
Well, I'm physically not in the best shape, but I am emotionally just feeling really fed right now and grateful. And
Let's stop it right there. This actually applies to me as well. As I told you on Monday, I'm starting a new diet. I said, I'm physically not in the best of shape, but as you can tell on YouTube, folks, I am emotionally well fed. You see this?
Emotionally well fed.
Tony, has Robin ever emotionally fed you?
He pleads the fifth.
Let me check. She helps me emotionally break down every couple of days, you know, when we go to the house and things aren't getting done and, you know, we're going to be homeless in a couple of months. So other than that, no, Robin's a great cook. We've been trying to cut down on carbs and stuff, too, you know, trying to stay healthy. You know, it's like 90 degrees every day now, so it's super hot in Florida. So you just have to go outside and walk around.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Walk around.
What a pompous jack-off he is. Like Cory Booker.
Could you imagine Jake Tapper putting this guy on after 20, the longest speech in congressional history of humanity?
Always sounds like he's got a throat lozenge when he's talking as well. You ever notice that with Tapper?
Yep.
Talking about voices going out.
Dawn, I know you played this on your program, your wonderful program that starts at 10 a.m. every day. But I want to play it for the cut sheet. The Kid Rock was on with the Fox and Fox Friends. And Fiends. And
Fox and Fiends?
And explaining the big dinner that happened between President Trump, Kid Rock, Bill Maher, and Dana White. Wouldn't you love to have been a fly on the wall on that?
Bread was broken,
On that dinner? Bread was broken. Let's hear from Bobby.
All right, tell us what happened from start to finish in 30 seconds.
In 30 seconds, I went on Bill's show, I went on his podcast, and I said, man, you know, nothing happens if people don't break bread together and meet face-to-face. He's been one of the president's hardest critics, and we came to dinner, me, Bill, Dana White, and it could not have been better. Everyone was so surprised, so pleasant. The most shocking thing to me was, you know, Bill's obviously a very big liberal, been very hard on the president, but he's donated a lot of money to other politicians. You know, you've had Biden, Clinton, Obama, everybody. He had never been to the White House, and the president was so gracious. He took us up to the private residence. We saw the Gettysburg Address in the Lincoln bedroom, and I was like, you've never been here, Bill? And I was like, how about this? President Trump, you know, extending this olive branch, and we talked about things we had in common, you know, ending wokeness, you know, securing the border. You know, the president was asking him what he thought about policy, you know, going on with Iran and Israel and things. It was, it blew my mind. It was, I was, you know, very, very proud.
You know, it's amazing. Find something in your life that you love to show off as much as Trump loves to show off the Lincoln bedroom. That is, if you get the tour with Trump, you're guaranteed to be asked, you want to see the Lincoln bedroom? He loves to show off the Lincoln bedroom. Bill Maher.
Didn't the Clintons used to rent out the Lincoln bedroom to their their big fundraisers? Monica Lewinsky had the best seat in the house in the Oval Office. It was under the table. It was under the desk.
She definitely did. By the way, Bill Maher, according to sources, Bill Maher had a list of insults that Trump has said about Bill Maher, and Trump signed it for him.
Wow. I saw that Maher tweeted yesterday. He says, hey, everybody, thank you for all the interest in my dinner with the president last night. I promise all will be revealed on the next show, which is April 11th.
Yep.
So
By the way, shout out to Nick, not Nick Hale, Nick on Twitter, who showed a picture of his car radio with 1210 on it, saying, "Tony Bruno, nice to hear your voice on the Philadelphia airwaves." Thank you very much, Nick. Thanks for listening. Take those. I see those presets, those low energy presets you have on your car radio. Take those off and just put 1210 on.
Ah, you don't like singing on five other frequencies, huh?
I mean, they're all three of them are our sister stations, but I don't care. Yeah. I don't care. Get them off your preset.
Yeah,
but just 1210.
Right,
it's all massive.
I agree.
Thank you, Nick, for listening. And if you want to show off your car radio too, and show us your low energy, low energy presets.
Although my man could use a little wipe on his screen.
Yeah,
a lot of dust buildup.
He's
come on, Nick.
He's probably a salt of the earth dude who works for a living, right, unlike us,
right,
who just sit here and gab for hours.
Yeah. I'd probably sneeze if I was in there.
By the way, if you're watching this on the YouTube stream, you can see I have a new guest in the studio this morning.
Wait,
it's not Robin.
Who's
he? You notice who's in the back?
Wait, hang on. Phil, can you put a one shot on Tony?
Yeah, go to one.
Put the one shot on Tony. That is, oh, Dawn.
She's right.
Oh, Dawn.
She's
uh-oh,
right behind me now.
Hello, Dawn.
Is that Ozzy?
Who is that?
Ozzy?
Be best, baby.
It's Melania.
Ah, jeez.
Melania now. Melania proudly standing behind me in the studio. I won Melania. I took her home after playing bocce last weekend here in Cape Coral for a shrine, not Shriners, because Shriners is a...
Chop.
Not Chop. It was Shriners. St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital.
Yeah, Memphis.
So we did a bocce tournament, and there was a raffle, so I threw a couple bucks in, and then I won Melania at the end of the night. Ooh. So I said to Robin, hey, we're taking Melania home tonight, baby.
Yeah.
Let's party.
You should box that up and send it to Dawn.
Dawn, how much would you offer for that Melania stand-up in the back there?
I would never take your Melania. I would never take it.
Poll question. Would Dawn rather put up a Christmas tree or a Melania cardboard cutout? Get that poll posted.
If you want to see it, youtube.com/@1210WPHT, youtube.com/@1210WPHT. All the Tony Bruno fans who've come over to see us, thank you. But please make sure you're hitting the subscribe button. Please hit that subscribe button and hit the like button. Only 109 likes. Like, come on, guys. What are we doing wrong? Hit that like button right now, damn it.
Damn right.
We talked about this yesterday. Nick brought it up, but we have the audio, so I wanted to bring it back. I wanted to ask Tony Bruno's opinion if you're okay with this, Nick.
No, I object to that.
This is the Star Wars actor John Boyega, who attacks fans of the franchise as racist white elitists. He does it in a very lovely British accent, by the way.
Of course,
yes. Dolph.
Roll this.
They're pandering. Let me tell you, Star Wars always had the vibe of being in the most whitest elite space. Like, this franchise is so white that it's like a black person existing in that was something. And you can always tell it's something when some Star Wars fans try to say, well, we had Lando Calrissian and had Samuel L. Jackson. It's like telling me how many cookie chips are on the cookie dough. I'm like, bro, they just scattered that in there, bro. Wow. They're okay with us playing the best friend, but once we touch their heroes, once we lead, once we trailblaze, it's like, oh my god, it's just a bit too much.
Wow.
Way to
crap on the fans of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Man.
Does ABC, ESPN, and Disney, do they employ anybody that's not a woke jerk off? Or is that like the prerequisite? Can somebody just do their job and entertain me?
I know.
Wow.
Tony, your thoughts. We talked about this a few days.
We had Lando Calrissian, the coolest brother in the galaxy. I mean, come on,
yeah,
man.
Exactly.
No, that's so ridiculous. There was the most diverse cast. I mean, they had all these mutations, and they had the saloon, and they had everybody mixed in there.
It's like a cookie with the chocolate chips. They just sprinkle them in.
Yeah. It's a sci-fi movie. It's about planets that don't exist. It's about people and things that don't exist.
Banks.
And you, thank you. Like, what are we doing?
Exactly.
What are we doing?
I mean, they even had a tribute to Jerry Nadler with who's the big blubbery guy?
Jabba the Hutt. Jabba the Hutt. Yeah.
Jabba the Hutt. I mean, they had Jerry Nadler in there. They had big people. They had small people. They had white, black, orange, green, purple. They had the, it was the color of the rainbow. It was inclusive.
Yeah.
You're right. Disney hires the worst people to make movies.
No, I'm telling you.
It's unbelievable.
It just doesn't matter. And they're openly advocating. I mean, I don't want to call somebody a racist without proof, but man, you absolutely have people on mainstream media, in Disney, on MSNBC, the anti-white rhetoric that they just openly spew,
yep,
with nobody pushing back and nobody checking them on their nonsense. Even Sunny Hostin has gotten to the point where she's saying, can somebody legally fact check these people? She's the only one that ever gets fact checked for her absurdity.
Yeah, I'm not, this is just, I can't believe, if I'm Disney, I would be like, dude, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing?
Well, look at Rachel Zegler. Snow White, last weekend.
Nobody's looking at her. The movie bombed. The movie went down 77% from its weekend opening debacle. Yeah. And she's still yapping. And it hurts me because I'm a Disney stockholder, and she's killing my 401k, for God's sake.
You know what's interesting to me? You are a Disney stockholder because you work for ESPN, right?
Yep.
Yes.
That's amazing.
I'm vested. I'm vested.
What an amazing
factor. I'm
going to
pick the best off later today.
Yeah.
I mean, I got Tesla and I got Disney.
Yep.
And both of them, well, Tesla's not getting killed, but they're trying to kill Tesla because, you know, how about the guy, by the way, the Monco guy that they nailed? Did you guys talk about him?
The Tesla guy in Doylestown.
Yeah, the Tesla guy.
In Doylestown.
The guy who has a car service.
Yep.
And then they caught him. Did you play that on the cut sheet yesterday?
We did.
You have every right.
What a strapper that guy is.
Total strap. You have every right to be pissed off. I mean, these people with their politicization of a children's entertainment company are killing your bottom line on stocks.
You know what I realized, Mikhail? You and I, I'm vested in Odyssey. Nick, Tony has Disney, Don has Fox, and we have Odyssey. That's why they're set up for the future, and we are not.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't have that many shares.
Listen,
if I had that many shares, you know, I'd be sitting in Florida building a house.
To all the evil corporate overlords. I'm just kidding.
I'm not. I have Fox and Paramount, that big sale.
Hell,
right,
awesome.
Now.
I gotta find this. What's the next Netflix stock that's gonna boom? I need to jump on it before it goes for $900 a share. If anybody has any advice, let me know.
Did you see?
I just saw yesterday the guy who started Chipotle is a billionaire now.
Yep.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
The guy who started Chipotle, and remember, Chipotle went through some ups and downs.
I mean,
the stock went up so high, he got rid of most of the stock, and then he still made. But then now he's trying to dabble with other companies that aren't making it.
Yeah.
But the guy is the first. Fast food billionaire with Chipotle, and Chipotle's really not fast food, but it's an absolute gold mine.
It's Chipotle fabulous stock. It's fabulous food, by the way.
How many shares do you think Nancy has of that?
Please don't bother me with such frivolity.
By the way, speaking of shares, did you guys see Newsmax's shares?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I guess. I guess the commercials are correct on 12:10.
I was just gonna say
everybody's watching Newsmax.
Man, they went gangbusters.
Even President Trump loves Newsmax.
3 days. It's insane.
Well, they went public.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
So staying on the race issues here. This woman on TikTok says, let me see if I get this quote correct. Being on time is white supremacy.
Well, what is early?
Roll it.
Being on time is white supremacy because what are they always on time to do? Oppress. I'm always going to be 10 to 15 minutes late because that's the correct time, according to my people.
Oh, so
we start at 6 a.m.
So we start at 6. I get here about 5:17 each day.
I guess I'm
the leader of white supremacy then.
We actually start at 5:58.
Okay.
Dawn cannot get past this. We start at 5:58.
That's Dawn's usual arrival time. So the early tip off has affected her life. Yeah, it's like the Phillies game.
Wait a minute. She's on the air. She's on the air for 6 consecutive hours.
That's true.
Come on, man.
It's true. Come on, man.
Cory Booker couldn't do 6 hours of radio.
It's true.
It's like there has to be cohesiveness.
It's like the Phillies starting at 6:45 instead of 7:07. Yeah, Bryce Harper has to adjust his schedule now.
Tell the salespeople to sell more ads in the 5 o'clock hour, and we would start at 6 a.m.
I used to do the news at 5:30 for a long time in the morning.
Yeah, we're not going to do that.
They couldn't sell it.
That's a half hour.
Jimmy Kelly, mark that tape. We will not do that. We will not start at 5:30
no.
when they start to get ideas because they see how successful the show has been.
Not as long as I'm here.
What if we can squeeze an extra?
When I was on 12:10, when I was on 12:10, my show started at 5 a.m.
No,
5 a.m.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, that's outrageous.
That's outrageous.
I'd have to take three naps.
California, this is cut one, Phil. California is now going to give out DEI speeding tickets.
Please explain.
Yes. Okay.
San Francisco is launching a new speed safety pilot program backed by Democratic California Governor Gavin Newsom, where how much you pay for a speeding ticket depends on who you are. And it's all in the name of equity. On its website, the City Transportation Authority goes out of its way to explain that speed safety cameras will be dispersed across San Francisco in a, quote, equitable fashion.
Mm-hmm.
But not everyone will have to pay the same if they get a ticket. Get this. Low-income offenders qualify for steep fine discounts, guys, up to half off. And if you're homeless but speeding in your vehicle, you can get up to 80% discount.
What?
Pause it.
So,
by the way, that story is 3 weeks old. I did it on my Friday night show 3 weeks ago.
Oh.
So shame on you. Shame on you, outnumbered. That story is so old. I did it on my show, my Friday night show. I'm telling you, 2 weeks ago, I had the breakdown. There's a graph that shows if you go over 100 miles an hour and you don't make much money, you pay a whole lot less. And it makes no sense. Because if you're going over 100 miles an hour, you're speeding, no matter whether you're poor, rich, or anything. But if you go over 100 miles an hour and you're poor, then you don't have to pay as much of a fine. So tell me this, if you're going over 100 miles an hour and you get caught by a speeding camera thing, and then you get into an accident, is the damage less when you kill people by going 100 miles an hour and get into a wreck? Or if you're just going 100 miles an hour, period, why is the fine predicated on how much money you make?
Just to point
out, why California is a disaster.
Yeah. Just to point out how stupid this is, ask the victim. In your example there, Tony, you're going 100, you hit somebody, you kill them. Let's say you kill an 18-year-old. Ask that mom if she gives a rip whether or not the guy that killed her son makes six figures and is black or is poor and is white. Do you think it matters to the victim, the identity of the offender? No, it doesn't. I mean, think about it. Now, first of all, homeless people with vehicles. Have you ever seen a homeless person that has a vehicle? I guess some people sleep in their vehicle, but you don't see that too often. So if I make X and Phil Almquist makes Y, Phil would get a break for going 65 in a 45, but I would pay full freight? Makes no sense.
Yes.
That just illustrates how stupid the concept is of equity. Now, if you want equality, I'm on board with you. But there's a stark contrast between equality and equity. And Kamala Harris couldn't figure that out after 5 years.
And yesterday, by the way, in California on April 1st, everything went up. Gas taxes went up. Here's Gavin Newsom. He and Josh Shapiro are every day trying to run for president. And yesterday, the gas prices went up again. The taxes went up again. Real estate taxes, sales taxes went up. You're paying like 12% in some LA, in some California cities for sales tax. You know, when you go in and buy stuff. And Gavin Newsom was blaming price gouging on the gas prices going up in California. And even the local media there, which is all progressive, even they say, no, it's not gouging. It's the policies of the Democrats in California that make California gas prices continue to go up as they come down in the rest of the country.
By the way, shout out to Walt, who just tweeted me this. Speaking of Cory Booker. While he was on the Senate floor yesterday pontificating for 25 hours, one of his staffers was arrested on charges of carrying a pistol without a license. Capitol Police arrested a staffer for Senator Cory Booker for on charges of carrying a pistol without a license. By the way, this article by Politico, not written correctly, on charges of carrying a pistol without a license, the department announced Tuesday. Authorities arrested the staffer named by Capitol Police as Kevin Batts. Monday evening after Batts told officers outside the Senate galleries he was armed, the department said. Batts had been led by Booker around security screening at a Senate office building earlier in the day, according to the department.
Batts should have went with
a torpedo. At least the guy didn't have to sit there for 25 hours and listening to Corey yammer when they took him into He brings a guy in as a security guard.
Yep.
His personal security with a gun.
Yep.
And then the guy doesn't have a permit. And that story isn't even mentioned.
Yep.
During the 25 hours of rambling.
So we've got guns without proper documentation, voting without proper documentation. Fascinating how the Democrats just don't seem to be too keen on the concept of documentation.
Ellie Mastow was on The View yesterday.
I've got some thoughts for this guy.
And
he's the best.
He says that we need to get rid of every law prior to 1965.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
Roll this.
My premises for the book is that every law passed before the 1965 Voting Rights Act should be presumptively unconstitutional, right? Because before the 1965 Voting Rights Act, we were functionally an apartheid country.
Yeah.
Not everybody who lived here could vote here. Yeah. So why should I give about some law that some old white man passed in the 1920s, like the Immigration and Nationality Act, when they passed our fundamental...
If Joy Reid and Don King had a wild bender, they would create this buffoon. This is the same dope that's always on MSNBC, on all those panels, with all the soy boys and the Rachel Maddows just spewing race. This is a guy that totally needs to be checked, because I guarantee you he's going to get to the point where he says something where it is without a doubt, without question, a racist statement. And I guarantee you there's going to be a point where a Comcast, NBC, Universal bigwig comes out and tells him he has to do a walk back and a public apology. He's close to getting Sonny Hostin. I think he is.
Nah. ABC hasn't done anything to this. Hags on The View.
Oh, no,
you think they're going to do anything with a guy pimping a book on The View where they actually put up the QR code so you can buy his book while he's on there pimping it and calling the whole nation racist?
No, remember when
Sonny... I love him as Q-Tip now. Remember, he was the original Q-Tip.
Yeah.
And now he's the big man Q-Tip.
Yep.
That's great hair, by the way. I envy that. If I had hair, that's the kind of hair I'd like to have.
Now, see, if I had that kind of hair, I would have braided it or made dreadlocks. I would be like Allen Iverson back in the day if I had that kind of hair. Back when those were a thing. I was always a big fan of that. The Iverson dreads.
By the way, there's this new book out by Amy Parnes and Jonathan Allen. It's called Fight Inside the Wildest Battle for the White House. There's all kinds of revelations in this book that I feel like are not getting the proper vetting. Like meaning like I'm not seeing stories like this around on like mainstream media.
And who wrote the book?
Jonathan Allen and Amy Parnes. They write. They're like inside the Beltway politicos who write books like this all the time.
Okay.
So Jonathan Allen, this is cut four, Phil. Jonathan Allen in one of these, he was on the podcast with Tara Palmieri, and he details how Biden made Harris, quote, beg for an endorsement on the day he dropped out.
Yeah, get on your knees and tell me how much you love me.
That's crazy.
Roll this.
John, give me the play-by-play of that conversation between Joe Biden and Kamala Harris when he tells her that he's dropping out of the race.
Biden calls Jim Clyburn, who's in South Carolina, I believe celebrating his birthday, and tells him and says, listen, I've got a statement. I'm going to get out. And he reads the statement, and Clyburn goes, there's a problem with your statement. And Biden's like, what is it? And he goes, you don't mention Kamala Harris. You're going to have to endorse her. And Biden says, well, you know, I'll eventually endorse her, but I'm going to leave my statement as is. And Clyburn's like freaking out. He's like, I don't know what to do. He wants to be able to endorse Kamala Harris himself immediately. He needs Biden to get out of the race before he can do that. He's got a 5:30 p.m. Phone call set up with Barack Obama. He knows Obama's going to push him to support this, this contested primary open convention idea. And he wants to be able to tell Obama to go pound sand. So in order to do that, he has to have already endorsed Harris himself. So, ultimately, that's what Clyburn does, and it's ultimately what Biden does. Biden puts out the first statement, then about half an hour later, he puts out the second statement, launching the Harris campaign's effort to lock down all these delegates. And then Clyburn gets on the phone with Obama at 5:30 p.m. and says, Mr. President, I have already endorsed Kamala Harris. You need to get behind the vice president. It has to be her. And their phone call lasts less than a minute, helping foil Barack Obama's plans to have this open convention. Like a wild day, never reported at the time that Harris was ready to launch that whip operation, never reported at the time that she had to beg Joe Biden to issue an endorsement the same day. If he doesn't do it, disaster for her.
They have never liked each other, in my opinion. I think he used
now her. Those two, by the way, they've been everywhere. They've been pip in this book, and there's a lot of juicy details. And the one that's the most compelling that I heard is, remember when Kamala Harris was walking around with a phone and it was supposedly, you know, it was Barack and Michelle on the phone, and she's walking around smiling? That was set up because Obama and Michelle did not want to do it on camera. So to make it look like they were after the Jim Clyburn thing, they had to make it look like Barack Obama and Michelle were behind this as well. Mm-hmm. So they staged this phone call where she's walking around and it's Barack and Michelle saying, "We endorse you, we endorse you." But they refused to do anything on video or any kind of Zoom call to make it look official.
Yeah.
That's how phony this whole thing was.
Right.
And these two, this book has a lot of juicy tidbits in it. Of course, you know, if we only had known about it, well, we did know about it. Now people are making money telling us about it.
It's a great point.
Right.
It's a great point.
Yeah.
Like, where were all these people when this was actually happening? Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is they were cashing in because they were getting these, you know, these inside scoops, allegedly, I guess. And, you know, they were like, hey, this is enough for a book. So,
well, and they also boxed themselves into the identity politics corner, right? Because Joe used Kamala as the poster girl for DEI. And then when Joe's forced out, well, you can't skip over Kamala, a minority female, because it's going to be labeled racist. It's going to be labeled sexist. It's the same reason why I think they skipped over Shapiro.
Phil, can you put up the screen grab you have in preview right now? Not the audio, just the picture that you have right now in the screen. That one right there. So doesn't this look like a bizarro? First thing, George Wendt from Cheers.
It does look like George.
Elaine from Seinfeld.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
It's some weird made-for-TV movie where Seinfeld meets Cheers.
Somebody from Friends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Jennifer Aniston from Friends. Yeah, exactly. Phoebe, what's her name? Lisa Kudrow.
Oh, yeah.
Cut three here, Phil. This is, according to Amy Parnes, the other author of this book, Fight Inside the Wildest Battle for the White House. According to her, Nancy Pelosi wanted an open primary to, quote, avoid the disaster that was Kamala Harris.
You know, isn't it funny you talk about inside the White House with disasters? Every time Trump and one of his allies disagree on one thing, it's six sources report to Politico that there's dysfunction and chaos. Meanwhile, Joe and Kamala despise each other and hate each other's guts. We don't hear about it till afterwards.
Roll this.
I mean, Pelosi made the decision to step down for another generation, right? Just a year earlier. Did she feel like that she could make that argument to Biden? Did she try to?
I think she thought that she could make the argument to Biden, but I think she made it to him, like, why would you want to subject yourself to Donald Trump? Not you're going to lose to Donald Trump. I think they were all sort of, you know, thinking that they were losing this race and that they had to do something drastic to change the trajectory of it. But, you know, of course she watches the debate, she's unhappy, and she thinks that, you know, she doesn't want Democrats to rush into anything in that moment because she thinks, oh gosh, if they rush him out, then Kamala Harris is going to be in, and she doesn't think that Kamala Harris can win. So it's sort of, she's in a pickle in that moment.
So she really wanted a mini primary.
Yes, absolutely. And she talked to people about that. And she, you know, Barack Obama also wanted the mini primary. We report on all these sort of behind the scenes conversations, you know, a couple of phone calls between Pelosi and Obama, basically all the principles and how they're talking to each other about all this. And I think what it boils down to is she knew that Joe Biden, and I think her thinking evolved a little bit on this over time, but her thinking was Biden had to get out and that Harris was a disaster. And what she was trying to do was get Biden to get out in time that the Democrats could choose someone other than Harris.
You know, I mean, we always sit there and talk about how next level diabolical and smart the Democrats are. They're not as smart as they think they are. They gaslit us.
I'm sorry.
The oh crap moment.
OSHA. You're talking about OSHA.
The occupational safe health administration. Yeah. So the oh crap moment comes on June 27th in Atlanta, where Joe just totally pooped the bed.
Yeah.
And they had no plan.
Literally, actually.
Yes. And they could have. Now here's the thing. Remember back in April, 2 months earlier, Morning Joe, Mika and Joe. This is the best version of Joe. He's sharp. sharp as a tack. They could have pulled the plug and stopped gaslighting us and then had that, quote, mini primary. But they took it so far, and then it became indefensible that they, what do they have, 107 days, I think, was the total time from when they yanked. It was, this was when Joe officially dropped out. We were just finishing the bike ride in Atlantic City. It was Sunday, July 21st. We're at the little 1210 tent. Yeah, you know, Stocker's sitting there with his kid. I've got sunburn and chafing between my thighs, and everybody's coming up saying, hey, Kale, Joe Biden just dropped out. They didn't even have time for a mini primary. Which is why they trotted out Kamala and old Timmy Walz.
So yeah, but you know what the excuse is now? You know, Jen Psaki on her little podcast. Oh, you know, she only had 107 days. No, she didn't. She had 4 years. Everybody saw how inept she was for 4 years. So just because she only had 107 days as the official candidate doesn't mean that people didn't know that she, too, was a phony, that she couldn't ever say anything that made any sense. Everything was word salad. So now they're trying to, you know, trying to help Kamala Harris after the fact when we knew she was just a DEI pick, because that's what Joe Biden said he was going to do.
Yep.
Hire, you know, get a DEI vice president.
They did.
Never figuring that he would never make it to the second, to run for the complete second term.
You can say a lot about Pelosi, honestly, most of it awful. But the one thing that woman knows is politics.
She's a savage.
Yeah,
she
absolutely.
She knows absolutely. Politics. And the fact that she was telling everybody behind the scenes that Kamala Harris is a disaster, they should have listened.
They should have listened to her. But they didn't. Now, let me ask you this. Because of what happened last night with the election, you know, we had Wisconsin, we had Florida. Is the conversation we're having now, is this now the end for Democrats and all the different shows to say, well, that's the past. Kamala, Shmamala, Obama. You know what I mean? Now they're pivoting, and I think that's part of the reason they all want to talk about Wisconsin.
Are you saying that you're trying to turn the page?
Turn the page.
Turn the page.
Well, we have to turn the page on the cut sheet and take a break. But I have so much more.
How many hours left on this?
24 hours left on this cut sheet. By the way, there was a JFK hearing yesterday that Oliver Stone took part in. Lauren Boebert also made an ass out of herself, like she normally does.
Do we have video of the Boebert? That's all I care about.
What is the correct answer?
There's no facts to back anything up.
Wood, 25 hours.
Then Bill Burr weighs in on the Luigi Mangione death penalty that they're trying to get for him. Pam Bondi announced that she wants the death penalty for Luigi Mangione, because he's kind of been on this weird tangent where he just goes and he supports Luigi Mangione. So a reporter asked him about that outside the Kennedy Center the other night, and we have all of that on the other side.
Kale and Company, as we turn the page on the cut sheet and we focus.
Turn the page.
Yes.
Turn the page.
And it's time to turn a new era in lawn care. That's why I suggest you use the same lawn care company that I use, which is Natural Lawn of America. Because when you're choosing a lawn care service, it makes sense to hire a company that provides better results and is safer for your family and your pets. At Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without the harsh chemicals, and they use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of those family and pets. From organic fertilizers to safer weed and insect controls, they make sure that your lawn thrives naturally season after season. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program today and get a free seeding every year. If you want a greener, healthier lawn, plus free seeding, you call Natural Lawn today at 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Turn the page on your old lawn care company and call Natural Lawn today. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.